All right. Well, hey, this is the last message in our Family Life series. Has it been beneficial to you guys? Our goal through this series was that no matter where you are in your life journey, no matter where you're at in a family or family relationships, that you'd be able to take some things home, unpack them, and grow, right? So, like, that's the whole idea of the series. We talked about at the very beginning that this series is not here to make you feel guilty if you've messed up as parents or in your marriage, all right? That's not the end goal, you know? And I've said throughout this whole thing that, like, our desire for you is that wherever you are today, and whenever you come on a Sunday, wherever you are, that you'll take whatever you hear, whatever God moves in you, and you'll start growing, right? Your starting point wasn't yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Your starting point is today for whatever it is God wants for you today. That's what we have, is today. And so you guys know our heartbeat. We're not here to make you feel guilty about, boy, you messed up, didn't you? You know, like, there's some churches that are like that, or some places you go that are like that, or maybe in some of your family members, that's the way you feel the moment you get around them. I think what God does when we come to his presence open-handed, no matter how messed up things are in our lives, he says, awesome, thank you, I'm here. And I'm right here. I accept you. I love you. I want to help you. He doesn't, like, look down on you with your open hands and say, well, just close those things and walk away. Like, so no matter where you've been in your life, no matter what you've heard through this series about parenting, about marriage, about husbands, wives, about priorities, all that kind of stuff, take whatever it is you have and take whatever it is God wants to speak to you today and do something with it, okay? Is everybody with me on that? Since this is the last one, we are talking about priorities today, all right, as we're wrapping this up. So this is probably the one that is for every single one of us in this room, okay? This one isn't very specific as a role in a family. This one is kind of your family unit, whatever that looks like, and then for you personally, what are priorities and what does that look like? So we have talked about the relationships between a wife, a husband. We talked about parenting for two Sundays. If you are a parent and you missed either one of those Sundays, I would encourage you to go back and watch them. It's almost like you're going to get a parenting conference in a couple of Sundays, all right? Some really awesome tips to help you learn how to parent biblically. But now we are in, man, it is so good to be in summertime, isn't it? Oh, amen. Like, Jesus meets me better in summer. He just does. The enemy attacks in winter in Ohio. It's just how it works, and we got to stay strong, you know? We got to encourage a brother and sister, right? We got to make sure we get through. And then in summer, it's like, oh, yay. But do you remember spring? That was a nice day, wasn't it? It's like welcome to Ohio, you know? It's like, burr, whoo, man, it's like 90 degrees out all of a sudden. So we're in this season, and there's so many people who've been waiting to get out to the other side of this pandemic, to travel, right? To finally go somewhere, to finally take a family vacation or personal vacation, a getaway. And if that's you, man, go get away. You know, go fill your soul up and do something that isn't work. You know, something that you just get to enjoy and rest. And God created those seasons for a reason. I believe that he puts that in our internal clocks because it was in his clock from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. 6 days he worked, seventh rested, and then he put that in the cycle with his people. And I believe there's also, he gave seasons to the earth. It's like the season, work the land, now let it rest. He put this practice in place for us to rest. So if you haven't rested, man, get away and rest, okay? Get away and rest. But also with vacations means packing, all right? Do we have anybody in here who's really bad at packing? We got some bad packers, just show hands, just say, all right. I got some people who are willing to say yes. Do we have Tetris packers? Do we have anybody that's like, I love it, it's so much fun, and I can't wait to do that. Like, every time you've moved from house to house, you were excited because you got to figure out where all the boxes go in the big truck. You're weird, but no, I'm weird. I love doing it too, so it's not just you. Like, sorry, didn't mean to offend you if I did. But we have all sorts of different types of travelers, you know, different types of people that pack. And I've got a suitcase. We're going to be using this suitcase throughout the morning, okay? And this is my suitcase that I use if I'm traveling light, if I don't just take my backpack. But we have different types of travelers and packers, you know? And it's interesting, when you do travel, I've been in a lot of different airports and different things I've done with ministry. And you have different types of packers. One type of packer is the electronics packer. like the person that their backpack is just completely loaded with every piece of electronics they have in their home, right? It's like they can't leave the house without everything. So they got the laptop, they've got the backup laptop in case that laptop goes bad, then they've got the tablet, right? And then they've got their phone, and then they got, and then they have their Fire Stick, or you know, their thing that they have to plug into the TV in the hotel room when they get there because it has their entertainment on. Like, do we have any electronics packers? Yeah, that's me. I'm that guy. Just one laptop, but my backpack's really heavy. Like the last time I traveled to Chicago a couple of months ago for some meetings, and the scanner couldn't deal with my bag. Like, I'm the dude that broke, you know, the whole 3D scanner thing they have at the airport. Like it went and it went through, and then mine went and the screen went. It like shut down the screen, and they're like, "Well, that was weird." And they send it back through again, and it shut down. I'm like, "I've got some high-tech UFO stuff in here you don't want to know about, right?" It's like, I don't even know why I did that, but it was my bag. You know, the electronics packer, you know, that has to have all their stuff, and then you've got the how did you fit everything in their packer? You know, those people that you know they're going for a long trip, but they carry like one backpack, and you're like, I mean, you're using the inside out backwards underwear method. I mean, you've got some skills if that's you, right? Like you've got this traveling thing down if that's all you're taking for a week, and you're hoping there's soap there probably, you know, like you don't take a whole lot with you. Then you have the everything but the, no, it's actually everything and the kitchen sink packers. Is that some of you? Some of you said you're like, you don't know how to pack. So like you just in case. I got to take this, and just in case, I got to take that, and just in case there's rattlesnakes, I got to make sure the kit's in the bag, and like you just have it. Maybe you look like this in the airport, right? Like, like that's you. Like, I got to have it all. You know, your whole household is on that rack. Isn't that hilarious? That's a piece of art. That's an art piece, I think, in some airport in Canada. So it's all actually, see the dog in the top right corner on the top? I'm like, I hope that's not a real dog, you know? I hope that's not a real dog, right? Like you feel like you're gonna miss out on something, you're gonna forget something, so you just make sure you get everything in that bag, right? And you have to sit on it to zip it up and close it. And when you get to the airport, I don't know if you've ever had to do this traveling with a family, and maybe some of you never fly. Maybe some of you're the minivan, or back in the day it was really the station wagon was the original travel thing, right? It's like you load up the station wagon, and it's just the row of seats up here and the row of seats, and then the kids had a whole different experience in the back because they're facing everybody behind them, trying not to make eye contact when they come to a stoplight of the person that's staring at them. Like, you know, you feel awkward, and like they had a completely different vacation than the rest of the family in the back of them. Station wagon or the minivan, where it's like there's so many summers we would drive down to Florida and the minivan was like that, you know, it's like the back end of the minivan was, we couldn't go over speed bumps that quick, you know, it's just everything was loaded up in that thing to make sure we had everything. And then the moments we've had to swap things between suitcases at the airport, has anybody ever had that happen? That's embarrassing, right? It's like how much do things weigh? It's like, no, I that don't that we, you know. Yeah, underwear doesn't want to be a public display, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, so your friend trying the heavy stuff to swap between suitcases so that they weigh evenly. And I'm like, if the airplane can't fly, if this one's heavier than that one, I don't want on the plane, right? Like, something's wrong in that situation. Or you have the oops, I forgot traveler. I mean, they packed all the wrong things, you know, and it's like, oh, dadgummit, you know, I forgot my toothbrush. Or, you know, I forgot the tickets for the flight, or, you know, that kind of thing, the oops, I forgot, or that can be troublesome. Or you could be really cool, okay? This is like a whole nother level of traveler. Like, I talk about the person that just takes the backpack. Who in here has ever worn a fanny pack? Just see if I got some truth tellers in the room. All right, right? Okay. I bet you it was not as cool as this one, because this one is straight from my childhood, right? This is like, yeah, be fresh. You know, it's like, welcome to Saved by the Bell, fanny pack, you know, you are now Screech, you know, like, awesome. But like, I know people with fanny packs, and the thing is, some of those people, those fanny packs, they could save the world with whatever they have in that fanny pack, right? Like, you know that they know what they're doing. They can go in the desert for a week by themselves, and they're surviving because of what's in that fanny pack. You want those people around you, right? The reality is all of us, you know, we might pack differently, and we use our suitcases differently. Some people just toss their suitcase. Actually, everybody at the airport tosses other people's suitcases. That's just how it works, you know. So don't put breakables in there. But I want to use this suitcase, the idea of traveling and what we put in our cases, as the main kind of illustration for this morning as we're talking about priorities. Because when you travel, you in your suitcase, you only have so much space, right? Like this is called a carry-on, and so I could take this and put it up in the bin in the airport. And it's a smaller suitcase, but let's pretend that this suitcase represents the entirety of our life, okay? And if I said your life, you're on a trip, you're going somewhere. There's a destination at the end of this thing, right? And the question is, what are you taking with you? What priorities are you making sure are inside your life suitcase so that when you get to the end, to the destination on the trip, you feel good about what has happened with the things inside of your suitcase? There are constraints to this, right? We think about our life. There's constraints to our life every day. We all get 24 hours in one day, 7 days a week. That is the great equalizer of humanity. Like, we all have the same amount of time every single day on this planet, right? And with that, the reality is that some of us use those time slots in our day better than others, right? And some of those things that we put in those time slots are leading to something good, and some of them are leading to something that's just neutral, nothing, and some of them are leading us like to things that aren't healthy, right? So the question is, what priorities are you putting into those 24 hours so that you are taking your life suitcase to the end, to the destination, to your memorial service? And what gets said about you is what's actually inside of here, and that it's made a difference, right? That you've lived, that you've truly lived the life that God intended and desired for you to live. Some of us, in our suitcases, we fill it with way too many things, right? Like, we got any busybodies in the house? You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to. All right, you did. Awesome. Like, that's me. I know it. I can't stop. I just got to keep going. There's always a task list. There's always things to be done. There's always, you know, like, and some of you just fill your life and fill your days where your mind never shuts off, right? There's always the next thing and the next thing. And like, you just, and you fill your days, like, with tons and tons and tons of little stuff, but you forget the first half because of all the stuff you're trying to get done the second half, right? So, like, your day isn't even memorable because you can't remember what it was that you did, but it was a lot, right? So many people today, when you ask them, you know, how's your life going? A lot of the answer is, I'm very busy, right? That's the answer. It's like, I just feel really busy. I mean, we're just really, really busy. Here's the problem, okay? We act like, in humanity, that being busy is a badge of honor that makes us look and feel important. When in all reality, all it actually does is it shows that we are poor prioritizers of our life. Did you guys hear that? Yes. Being busy gives us the sense of importance and worth. Like, the more I do, or the more busy I am, or the more things my family has going on in our household, like, it makes me feel like, okay, we're up to something, and it's all good stuff, and we're, you know, it gives us a sense of importance. But really, all it's saying is that if all I answer is, I'm just really busy, it means you're not good at saying no to things that you should have said no to, and saying yes to the best things that you should have said yes to. Because some of the yeses have become no's because I'm too busy. And some of the no's became yeses and have made me too busy, right? Like, our priorities, whatever we fill in our life suitcase, we need to make sure we have it right. We all have the same 24 hours. It amazes me to think about that. I love, like, studying productivity and, like, time management and, like, business and operation stuff. I'm a systems guy. I love figuring out systems and making them work. And, like, I just love that kind of stuff. And so often, like, systems are there to be broken. That's what systems exist for. Like, let's figure out what's broken. And, okay, it's just a continual process of making something better. Like, that's frustrating for us with OCD, right? It's like, get in your box, you know, and stay there. That's not how it works. We have all been given the same 24 hours, and I think about how some people use their 24 hours compared to the way I use my 24 hours, okay? Elon Musk has the same 24 hours that you and I do, and he's sending things into space, okay? Like, he's creating things that have never been done before, and what is he doing with his time? I think about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. he's in a new movie every week. Or like, what the heck, you know? Like, what's he doing in this 24 hours? Like, this guy, like, he's stacked and jacked, and he still has time to spend time with his family, and he's, like, making a movie every week, you know? Like, holy cow. Billy Graham, when he was alive, had the same 24 hours that I do. And I look at what he accomplished. I'm like, what? Okay, so what is different? And I'm not saying any of us in here are going to become the next Elon Musk or maybe the next Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Nobody's flexing that big here, all right? So, like, or Billy Graham. But maybe some of us are supposed to be. I don't know. The question is, are we doing what God wants us, you, me, individually to be doing so we become the best us, the best you, the thing that God wants for you? Now, again, this message is not about guilt. It's not about, like, get your life right or stop being stupid. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is so often we just go through life, and we let life happen to us, and whatever gets thrown into our life suitcase, then we just deal with it instead of us choosing what's in my bag, what's helping me become what God called me to be, what's pointing me in the right direction, what priorities should I have in my life to thrive, to succeed, and to be all that God designed me to be? What is it? Okay, so we're going to answer that question. You're going to have all of life's answers by the end of this morning. Okay, is everybody ready? Okay, excellent. So pull out your worship programs. We do have some fill-in-the-blank notes for you this morning as we're talking about this. I'm going to have some very practical teaching by the end. And but we're going to look at Scripture first, okay? We're going to look in the book of Luke chapter 10. So if you have a Bible with you, open it with me or get on your phone and click the buttons to get to Luke chapter 10. We're talking about Jesus and his disciples, and they were traveling from town to town. And then in this one town, they decided to stop and make some friends, okay? And it's so cool because this home that they stop in this passage becomes like a safe place for Jesus and his disciples. It becomes not just like a pass-by, you know, thanks Airbnb moment kind of thing. Like these become friends that they want to spend time with and hang out with. And it's Mary and Martha. And then later on we see Lazarus. And these two sisters and a brother, become so close to Jesus. We see another story later on in the Gospels where Lazarus dies. And the sisters are mourning, and Jesus is, that's the passage, the two words, Jesus wept. That Jesus felt the loss of a friend, you know? That wasn't the end of the story. Jesus brought him back to life. Imagine that. Holy cow. Like, but just so you see the closeness of this friendship that gets built. But this is the scene right where that friendship begins, okay? And we see Jesus interacting with two sisters. Anybody here have sisters? We got some sister relationships, right? Sister relationships can be like a little contentious. I don't know that. Our household is all boys. I grew up, me and my brother, like no sisters in the house. Thank you, Jesus. All right, that's just my, like, women are awesome. All right, women rock. Women, but the sister-brother, sister relationship thing is, I don't understand it, and that's okay? But like for some of you sisters, you're like, yeah, I know how sisters can be. So watch this scene, and you'll see these two sisters and how they interact with each other, okay? So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, says this, as Jesus, let's try that again. I sound like my 13-year-old son now, all right. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. I mean, that's awesome, right? Martha was Airbnb before Airbnb was a thing, right? It's like she knew Jesus coming to town. Come on over. I want to make you a meal. I want you to rest and relax, right? This hospitality, this gift of hospitality is all over Martha. So she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So Martha has a personality type. Mary has a personality type. Martha's like, I invited you in. I've got something to do. I want you to feel safe. I want you to be fed, you know. And she's got the tassel starting to roll. And Mary's kind of like, Martha's got that. And just sits and hangs out with the guest. And just is chilling there on the floor. Now, you'll see where this is heading. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus, it's so awesome, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Has that ever happened in any sisters' homes, right? Like, or any homes, right? Like, Mom, she's not helping me, or he's not helping. Right? It's like, you know, I'm doing all the work, lazy butt sitting there doing nothing. Like, that's the scene. And Martha, this is, I love the gall. Like, right away, it's almost like Jesus became a part of the family, right? It's like, that's why I think the friendship started, because there's like, Jesus is like, he's like the dad in the scenario. Like, Dad, you know, can you tell her to help me in the kitchen? You know, kind of a thing. It's like, so like, I don't know if that was a part of that cool relationship that started. Like, Jesus felt that? I don't know. But Martha is complaining that Mary is not helping her get all the stuff done. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. No, this isn't the Brady Bunch, okay? Martha, Martha, Martha. It's Marcia, isn't it? All right. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. How would you feel at that moment if you were Martha? Right? I'm like, excuse me? Don't you want a meal, Jesus? Right? There's some legit stuff that's happening in this scene. Like, I don't discredit Martha, because right now it feels like Martha just got like, you're doing it wrong, Martha. In reality, I'm sure the disciples were hungry, and I'm sure they enjoyed the fellowship, and I'm sure they enjoyed the clean home. And so there were things that needed to be done. There were tasks. It's like, ah! But you see, Jesus knows what's going on in the heart of each of the sisters. He knows what's inside of their suitcases. And I think the scene that we see is more about a conversation about priorities than anything else. This isn't a diss to Martha for doing the work. Like, the work needs to be done. Like, people need to be greeted. People need to be met. People need to be taken care of. People need to be fed. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But when he said, actually, you're worried and upset about many things, that was right to the heart. How many of you live your life that way? Like, if you spent some time with Jesus, he would say, oh, you're worried and upset about many things. Like, he's peering into your life suitcase, and he's like, there's lots of worries in here. There's lots of busy stuff in here. There's lots of stuff you think is important, and it's like keeping you up at night, but it's actually not as important as you think. You know? And we can, like, play into the tone of voice. We don't know the tone of voice of Jesus when he said this. If it was a Martha, Martha. It was like a loving, like, you're worried and upset about many things, Martha. You don't need to be. Actually, there's just one thing that's the most important, you know? And he says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus. That's where Mary was. Mary was like, the guest that we have in our home is the most important. Not the thing that need cooked, or the Kleenex that fell out of the trash can over there, or the, like, I just want to be with him, right? I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to be where he is. And Jesus explains here very, very, very clearly what the most important priority is, okay? And you can write this down. Being with Jesus is the most important thing. Point blank. So many times we're worried and upset about so many things. We fill our life suitcase with so many things that keep us busy and distracted and worried. And he's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He said, being at my feet, like hanging out with me, is the most important. It should be the thing that goes into your case first, right? It should be the first priority in our lives. If we are Christians, if we are Christ followers, that's what we learn. That's as we become a disciple, as we grow in our spiritual life and we go closer to God, we learn more and more and more why that is so important. Like, at first we know it's important, you know, it's like, I accepted Jesus and I'm going to church now, and it's like, I know it's important. The farther and longer you go in relationship, but the more you realize how and why it's important, right? And you go deeper into that priority in your life. So I wanted to start right there. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? You know, are you busy just fooling it with like, I got this and I got that, I got this, I got that, I got this? Or are you Mary saying, okay, Jesus, I got all this, but you are honestly over the entire case. Like, you surround it all. Yeah, you're inside, yes, but you're also around and surrounding all the other priorities inside, right? That's putting Jesus at the center of your life, okay? All right, we'll keep coming back to this. So let's move into some practical in this, okay? And maybe you're thinking about your own life, like, how do I prioritize things? What are the keys to priorities? And how do you know what is actually important to you, right? Like, because some of us, we just kind of go through life. There's been seasons in my life where I just was trying to get through it, you know? I wasn't intentionally sitting down saying, well, this is a priority, and that's a priority, and this is a priority. Like, how many people actually do that? Okay, a few of us, right? Okay, awesome. Did you always do that? Probably not. You know, if you did as a kid, wow, you had amazing parents, and you did it right. Like, okay, you teach to tell your kids, like, this is more important, this is not important, like, set your priorities. But so often, we just let life happen to us, and some of us, I think this morning, I'm going to help you discover what your priorities actually are, okay? So that you can then take some time to realign them with what actually is most important, right? And so that you don't get to the end of your story and have regrets. I read an article about a nurse who was a nurse for an end-of-life care in a hospital in Australia, and she wrote a book. It's called The Five, I forget, I don't have it in my notes. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but it's something like The Five Things, or The Five Regrets of Those Who Are Dying. Because she kept hearing the same things over and over and over and over again. And so often they were about this. They were about priorities. I wish I would have spent more time doing the right things. I feel like I wasted so much of my time. It's like, I don't want to get to the end and be like, well, there you go. You know, it's like, it is what it is. You know, like, oh, I want us to live with intention. I want us to live with intention. All right, so let's do this. I've got my suitcase, and inside the suitcase, I got balloons. Yay, balloons. Anybody like balloons? Yeah. Balloons, they're just happy things, right? If you see a balloon on a string, like, life is better. That's one thing I love about Winnie the Pooh, like the movies with Winnie the Pooh. It's like he's just carrying a red balloon. It's like, life is better with a red balloon. It's like, yes. All right, so balloons. So these balloons represent our priorities, okay? And you only have so much room for different priorities that go into, you know, your case of life, right? And you have to decide, what are the balloons? What's inside the balloons? And some are going to take up a lot of space. Some are going to take up a little bit of space, you know, of your priorities. And they're important, but they're not that important. So you will give it some time, but not all the time you need. And so think about some of the priorities you have in your life, okay? Let's say for some, maybe comfort actually becomes a pretty high priority for some people, right? Like, yeah, I just want to be sure I'm comfortable or have things that give me comfort. So boom, they put comfort in the priority box, and they do things that help them accomplish that goal, right? Comfort or sports, right? I know a lot of families, I'm talking to families with kids who are in sports, like that can be like a big balloon in your case. It just can. I've seen people where it's taken up the whole case. It's like, this is our whole life, and we invest so much into that. So it could be sports, could be hobbies, you know. It could be just friendships and relationships. Maybe it's finances. You have different priorities. Maybe some of you feel like, this is actually what my finances feel like, not that. You know, so you walk with that tension of like the priorities of how you spend your money and what that looks like. Maybe it's kids, your relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's spiritual growth. Maybe for some of you, the news. Actually, if you looked at your calendar, you spend a lot of time just watching news and scrolling through news. And so that gets a big spot inside of your box, right? And so we take all those things and we stuff them down in until it's full, and then we go, okay, and then we just live life, right? Here's my priorities, what I'm going to do. Because your priorities affect some things, okay? They affect some things pretty big, and these things are the keys to discover your priorities, these things we're going to talk about. Number one that we're going to discover is our calendar, all right? The keys to discovering your priorities is, first, your calendar. Your calendar. I love this verse in Psalm 90, verse 12, because it's this whole idea of what I'm talking about. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's a great prayer. God, teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom is like discernment, right? Wisdom knows what to put in the right place. That's wisdom. It knows how to use your time well. That's wisdom. How to make the right choices in your life. That's wisdom, right? Like, God, help me to know the breadth of my life, like the beginning and the end, so that I can gain wisdom during it and make right choices. And so knowing the breadth of your days, there's a calendar attached to that, you know? There's a 24-hour time period, and then there's 7 days connected together, and then those 7 days end up into a month, and then those months end up into a year, right? That's just how time works. It's been organized very nicely for us, all right? Like, we can write things down and do things and use our calendars to help us prioritize our life. Actually, what we end up doing is taking what our priorities are and we put them on a calendar. If you have a priority but you don't have it on your calendar, it's not a priority. Do y'all hear that? If you say you have a priority and it is not on your calendar, it is not an actual priority. If you say, I'm prioritizing exercise, and exercise is nowhere on your calendar, and instead of exercise, it turns into extra fries every day, like you're going to have a different life, right? Like, so if it's not on the calendar, you're not going to do it, right? Like, you have to put your priorities on your calendar. They can't be on your list without being up there, right? So let's say, let's use exercise. So let's say exercise is a priority to you, the big orange exercise balloon. Like, I want to be in shape. I want to be healthy. And it's not even just to look good. Like, I want to feel good. I want to use my energy well every day. I want to have energy at the beginning and at the end of my day. Like, I want to use this. It's called in scripture the temple. Like, God lives inside of me. I'm a temple of God's presence. Holy cow. I better take care of this so I can honor God well with it, okay? So if I say this is exercise, where does it fit? Where does it go? If it's going to go in here, it's got to go on your calendar, and you have to make a spot for it. Because some of us, it starts well, right? It starts well, but then it's like, well, I don't, right? Like, that's how our exercise feels after a while, right? You know, if you eat certain things, it sounds like that. But, like, but reality is, like, if it's not on your schedule, that's the actual priority, right? If it's not on your calendar, if you're not saying, yes, that's when I'm going to do it, it becomes an empty, stinky thing, right? It does not actually change anything in your life. So we can do that with any kind of priority. Now, where do I want to go with this? Here's what I want you to do. To discover your priorities, I want you to take stock in your calendar. Even in your mind right now, think about this coming week. Or maybe think about last week. And think about the things you spent the most amount of time on, right? Some of you, it's like, Tim, I have a job, so it's my work. I mean, it's a priority because I have to do it. I want to earn money, and I want to make a living. I want to take care of my family, whatever it is, right? So work is a priority because it takes a lot of time. So if it's a priority, are you doing it with the right attitude? Right? Are you doing it to glorify God? Are you doing it to produce something good for others? Like, so it's on your calendar. It's a priority. Is it a good thing? Is it producing the things that God wants in your life? And for some of you, you might say, Tim, the job I have now is not the job that's actually producing the good things in my life. Go get another job. I know I can say that very, like, just go get another job. Jeez, man, come on, you know? But I tell you what, if your job sucks that bad and it's actually sucking life from you, it's better to make a little less at something that gives you some life, okay? And right now, there's lots of jobs, like because there's lots of lazy people out there, so who don't put things on their calendar. You know, that's what we're talking about right now, okay? Sorry. Not, it is what it is, all right? As a Christ follower, though, we're not called to sit on our butts. As a Christ follower, we're called to work, to produce something good for other people. And whether you get paid for that or not, like, that's a part of our wiring and design, to bring something significant to the world we live in. And so whether that's a hamburger to somebody who's hungry, or whether that's a system that solves a financial problem, or whether that's helping somebody who's sick, whatever it is, if you're doing something that produces something good, it can be a good thing. to walk into. But if that job is a huge priority and takes up all your time and it's just sucking the life out of you, start dreaming and say, God, is there another job? And see. And just, there might be another job for you. That might be a better job, a better place. Okay. I don't know why I went there. It's complete. That wasn't on my notes, okay? But check your calendar and see what you're doing the most on. See what's inside of your life case. And as you're looking at your calendar, is it worth it? Are there some things that you just need to start saying no to? Some things you need to start getting off of your calendar because it's just a time waster. So I would equate this when priorities, when we're thinking about our calendar. Am I using my time in such a way that produces something positive in my life, or does it steal something from my life? Some things are neutral. They just are what they are. But a lot of things either have a positive effect or a negative effect. And so when you think about the things you're doing, are they producing something positive? Are they not just self-serving, or are they also helping some others possibly? Or are they stealing from you? Are they taking life from you? Are they draining you? Are they not putting you in the center where God would want you to be, right? Now, when you start making decisions like that, you're going to look weird to the rest of the world. They'll judge you. We had a conversation last night in our, we have this thing called Equip, and we have a group of people that have gone through this journey together. One of the people in the group just made a huge transition, and people are talking about the situation, and they have their opinions. And it's like, when you do things that upset the norm because you know it's the right thing, you have to just not worry about what other people think. If you're doing God's thing, you're doing the good thing. Okay? Is everybody with me? I don't know why I'm talking about that, but here we go. So this week, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your life suitcase, and I want you to take your calendar, and I literally write every single thing that you do in a week on a piece of paper or on a balloon if you want to have fun with it, okay? And then lay it out in front of you on the ground and look at it. Look at all the things. And now you're going to see what your priorities are, right? You're going to be able to judge that. Our family does this every single month, okay? We have a very... So my wife is a very detailed person. Like, she just loves lists and loves getting things done and make sure everybody's in the right place at the right time. Like, she's brilliant at it, okay? I'm a systems person, so I like to put things in order and make sure we know what's going on. So the two of us together, right? Like it can get a little crazy. So every single... the end of every single month, we sit down with my calendar, with the family calendar, with her calendar, and we look at everything that's on it. And we've got three boys, and they've got lives, and they've got things going on, and we write it down on a whiteboard. Here's a picture of what we do, all right? So this is our calendar in our kitchen, and right now I'm really looking forward to the bottom half, all right? So, like... That's not normally as blank as it is, all right? So normally it's like a lot more like the top half, and just lots of little things written in all there, and we look at all the things that are in our life. What's happening? What are we doing at church? What are we doing at school? What are we doing in life? What meetings do we have that are important? What are things that both of us need to know about? I use Google Calendar, so I'm the digital guy. Nikki uses like physical calendars. It doesn't matter. We all get it together. And we prioritize. We say, what is important this month for us? And so we make sure there's some things on there you'll see that are on there. Like the third, it says game night. We always put a game night every single week for our family because that is a priority. Our family is a priority. Date night. You'll see date night on there. Woohoo! Like, I love date night. All right, so date night, we do that once a month. My wife and I go out on a date. I know so many marriages and so many married couples, once you get married, it's like, dating, what's that? You know, it's like, we're just kind of living and cohabitating. It's like, no, go show some love. Go open the door for her, guys. If you've forgotten how to do that, like, go open the car door for her instead of just everybody in the car, you know, like, it's different on date night. And we get to talk about things and be very personal. So it's important to us that we take that time every single month, right? Movie nights. And for us, you can see, I talked about this earlier, vacation is a big deal for our family. That's where life memories are made. This is why I'm grateful for our sons. And I tell them, guys, you're going to be friends the rest of your life if you know how to do it when you're in the same house, right? We want you to be brothers, but we want you to be friends for life. And it's those memories that we make on those vacations that help them be friends for life. And we go back and talk about it all year long. Oh, remember when Nat hit the hole-in-one at that one mini golf course? That was awesome. You know, like, we make these memories because it's a priority for our family, okay? All right, you can take that down. But I would encourage you, Be intentional. Be intentional with your time, your calendar, your schedule. Say yes. Say yes to the best and no to the rest. Okay? Lay it all out in front of you and say yes to the best things. The things that will produce the things you want in your life. The things that will produce the thing God wants in your life. Say yes to the best things and then say no to the rest. Did you know every yes you say is a no to something else? That's how life goes. Some of you don't know how to say no. Like, you need to learn how to say no. Hey, can you sign up and help for this? No. Hey, can you come to this party? No. Don't say it like that, all right? But some of you need to learn how to say no nicely, right? Like, say no nicely. There's a lot of great stuff from Bob Goff. You know, Nikki and I talk about him. He's an author and a speaker, and his books are just really good and fun and practical. And he talks about this. He's decided every Thursday he's going to quit something. Every Thursday, quit something. I'm like, that's brilliant. Have you ever given yourself the freedom to quit something? Like, and it could be something small, like, man, I chew gum every week, and I don't like chewing. I'm going to quit chewing gum on Thursday, right? So, like, boom, that's what he does. Or, you know, it could be something small, or it could be something big. He talks about, I quit being a lawyer on Thursday. Like, and so that's, he had to wait till the Thursday, and he quit his job as a lawyer. Okay, you know? So maybe for you, there's a lot of yeses that shouldn't be yeses, and just pick a day. Okay, every Thursday, I'm going to say no to something. I'm going to quit doing something that shouldn't be in my life case, right? That might be a good idea. Just quit something and learn how to say no nicely. Say no nicely. Like, if somebody comes up, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Tim, you know, this and this, such and such a week, I would love to do dinner with you. Can you come over and do dinner? Or I'd like to do lunch. And like, I know it's not going to happen. And it's not that I want to be rude or it's nothing wrong with them, but, like, it's just not going to work. Like, I could say, no. Right? Like, saying no nicely is like, you know, thank you so much for being thoughtful and thinking of me and inviting me. I won't be able to make that, but I just want to say thank you for thinking of me. Would you feel okay if I said that to you? That's a nice no. It's like, thank you for thinking, but I know I won't be able to work that in. I won't be able to do that because I've already said yes to the things I know I should say yes to. If you already know what your yeses are, your no's become easier. Okay? Okay. All right. So, calendar. Calendar. Now, here's the thing that should be on your calendar as a Christ follower. If Jesus is our priority, we have these disciplines in our home. I mean, these are kind of non-negotiables for Christians. Like, if you're a Christ follower and you put Jesus in your life case, if he's in there, is he this big or this big in your life case? Is he an afterthought? Like, yeah, I'm glad I'm saved, and like this whole God thing, it's good. You know, I like going to church every now and then, but it's more like this big, and it's just a part of all the other busy stuff and all the other. If that's you as a Christ follower, I'm praying that you'll grow. Because when Jesus comes in your life, he wants to be Lord of your life, meaning he has plans for all of your life, and they're good ones. It might be plans that lead you through some valleys that are difficult because he wants you to get on the other side of some broken situations in your life, and he wants to prune some things out of your life, and that's okay. If he's with you in the case, that's okay because he'll be with you back up on the next peak of your life, okay? But the more you walk with Christ, the bigger you want him as a priority in your life. The more you know why, the more you've experienced of him, the more you want him, the more you're just so grateful for what he's done in your life. And so if you want Jesus to be a priority in your life, these things that I'm going to say right now have to be on your schedule. They have to be a priority inside life box, right? We see these principles. These disciplines need to be in your home. Worship and fellowship with believers. That's a part of the Christian faith. If you're a Christ follower and you're not with other people, I'm telling you, you're disconnected from the body. And I say this a long time, a body part disconnected from the body is called dead meat. You're rotting away by yourself in the corner. Like, you're not going to grow that way. Like, God calls us the family of Christ. We're called the body of Christ. Like, we all belong together, and it's those relationships that spur us on to continue to grow. So this process of worshiping together, like we do here on Sundays, like, it's not like, no, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. Are they playing the songs I like? Oh, I don't like that song. I don't even know the words to that one. It's like, right, it's all about you at that point. It's like, get over yourself. You're not that big of a deal, all right? So like when we come to God, like we're now about God. Like we're here to worship God. And we're here to like encourage each other. We join something bigger and greater than us, which all of us long for. Like that's in the heart of man. Like we all long to be something, a part of something bigger and greater than us that's making a difference in the world. And God has given us the ultimate difference in the world, salvation through Jesus Christ, the relationship with him that changes everybody. And us being together is a part of that experience. If it's not on your schedule, it's not a priority. And I would say Jesus is pretty small in your balloon, in your life. Fellowshipping with believers, being in small groups, being in smaller circles, right? Like these are priorities and disciplines if Christ is a part of your life. Scripture reading, prayer, and fasting. We see these habits, these spiritual disciplines all through the New Testament and Old Testament. That if you're a Christ follower, these are priority for you. They should be in here. They should be on your calendar. They should be a part of your life. Scripture reading, it should be like an everyday thing, right? Like, man, the more you get into it, the more you'll love it, the more you're like, wow, thank you for talking to us, God. Prayer, like, talk to God, just talk to him. Like he's right there, because he is, right? Have a relationship with him and seek him and thank him. And fasting is one that doesn't get talked a lot about in church, but like we do that as a priority as a church at the beginning of every year. We do 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church to teach everybody. This is what fasting is. Jesus said, when you fast, which is him expecting, this is a part of a discipline. Like these things, if Christ is in your life, should be a priority in your life, okay? Two more on this one. Giving and generosity should be a part of your life. You should figure out ways to give back to the church body you belong to and to just live open-handed in life. That is a characteristic of a Christ follower. That's a characteristic of our Heavenly Father. He's like, I gave you everything. Now I'm just asking you just to be a conduit for what I want to bless you to bless others, right? Living open-handed should be on your schedule, should be on your calendar, and you should think about it as a priority when you're looking at your money and resources and things that God's given you. And last one is serving and helping others. This is where the Christian faith no longer is about us growing. It's about us giving. It's about us using what God's given us to bless other people. When you start doing that, now you're starting to live life. Honestly, that's when it starts to get fun. And it's been awesome to see so many people here at New Hope go through a journey of finding this out in really powerful ways. Yeah, it's awesome. And so if Jesus is our priority, if he is in our life back, if he's in there, these things should be a priority on our schedules, on our calendars, right? With our relationships and with our finances. And I would say as a family in your home, going back to parenting, if you're a parent, don't see these things as a priority to you, they will not be priority to them as they grow up. They just won't. Unless God does something miraculous, and he can. I mean, that's he knows every single individual. But I'm saying you're not going to be modeling it. You may be saying sports is more important on Sundays than fellowship with other Christ followers. You might be saying me getting a new car is more important than me blessing somebody who has zero cars. You see what I'm saying? Like, what you do speaks. And the younger generation is watching. We want to set the right attitude, the right thing. All right. Last few things. All right. Second key to discover. So the first key is opening up your calendar, pouring everything out, and saying, where am I spending all my time? Number two is this, your finances. Your finances, if I said, open your checkbook to me, I would like to see where you spend all your money. Would you be okay with that? I would be okay with that. I mean, any of y'all could look at my checkbook, right? Okay. Not that I'm actually doing that, all right? So don't, like, call me on that. But this is the reality. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is Jesus talking in Matthew 6:21, where Jesus is saying, like, stuff is stuff. Whatever you treasure, whatever you invest in, whatever you say, no, okay, I'm making money, I'm earning money, and then what are you doing with that money? Your finances, how you spend it, how you use it, how you give it, will expose your priorities, right? Whatever you're spending the most money on. So like a lot of us, it's a mortgage payment or a rent, right? Like, so roof over our heads is important. That should be a priority, right? And that's okay. That's good. You want that, right? Now, if the next thing right under that is cigarettes, I would say, oh, that's a lot of money. Like, I know some people, I'm like, how many packs a day do you smoke? How many? I'm like, dude, you could retire in like 4 years if you stop smoking, right? Like this. Look at the money that you're spending. Now, if you smoke, I'm not like, stop it. I am saying that. Like, stop. Like, why do you want to be? Never mind. I was gonna say like. That's where Tim is gonna shut up. All right. But right, there's things that we know harm us, and yet we invest financially in it. Right. Some drinking is not a problem. Alcohol is not a problem. Getting drunk is a problem. Now, if it controls you, now you got a problem. And if you spend so much money on alcohol, and it's like more than a car payment, it's more than you give to God. You see the priorities? You following me? So follow your money, you'll see your priorities. So look at your checkbooks. What do you spend money on? It'll expose what really matters to you, okay? All right, that's all I'm going to say on that one. And then the last one is this. The keys to discovering your priorities. Last one is your relationships. Who do you spend the most time with? The people that you put around you will show the priorities you have in your life, right? If you put people around you who are life suckers, right? Like, if you have relationships that are life-giving, that's awesome. You have a healthy balloon, you know, of relationships, and you want that in here. But some of us pick relationships that do sound more like, right? It's a stanker, right? That relationship's a stanker. Like, it's not producing anything good in your life. Like, it's leading you down a path that is not what God desires for your life. It may be time to say, here's a boundary in our relationship, right? Or these friendships over here versus these friendships over here. These ones over here are like that, but these ones over here are like, and they're filling you up and pointing you towards the right things. Who do you spend the most time with? Because those relationships will directly impact your priorities, what's important to you, how you spend your time, all that kind of stuff. Okay, does that make sense? So we want healthy relationships, and we want the right people around us that continue to spur us on, to grow, to be all that God calls us to be, and we want them in our life suitcase. So the question is, what's in your case? What priorities are in your life? Are they good? Are they bad? Are they neutral? I want you this week to take a self-assessment and answer that question. Look at your calendar, look at your finances, and look at your relationships. Are there things that are pointing in the right directions, or are there things that are pointing in the wrong direction? The goal is to start to say no to the right things so you can say yes to the right things. Right? Yes to the best and no to the rest. And set your home, okay, let me talk to parents and families. Set your home up in such a way that everyone in it knows the priorities, okay? So that your kids know the priorities for the home. Like, hey, our family, these are the things we're saying are most important in our family. So these are the things that we're going to do together, right? I'm grateful our family knows those things. Like, for us, Sunday is a sacred space. It is. A while back, our middle son, Nat, loved baseball. He played baseball. And there were times where baseball would happen on a Sunday. And me, as kind of the head of the home, I said, you're not going to be playing on Sundays. Just let your coach know. And we know how that goes, because I know some coaches would be like, well, if you can't be here Sunday, then I'm not going to give you the right spot in the batting lineup when you play the next time. He'll get disciplined by the coach because you weren't here and the rest of us were. And I'll say, then you do your best at the slot he puts you in, because it's not about that. And the thing that's funny is the moment he did go to a practice on a Sunday, he broke his thumb. And I went, I didn't have to say a whole lot, just so you know. It's like, all right, Dad, I heard. I'm like, now you can't play, you know. So I think sometimes God helps us to realign our priorities by showing us when they're out of alignment. Because there's kind of these boundaries of protection, and we jump over those boundaries. And for that was our families, okay? So I'm not like saying, that must be your family. Like, you do it in your own home. But when you pick them, live into them. And let God be the center. Let Jesus be the first and the foundation of your home, your life, your family, and then start to put the other stuff in Because if you do it that way, I'm telling you, you are building your life on the rock, not on the sand. The rest of the world's building their life on the sand. And when one piece comes in a storm, the rest of their life erodes with it. And I'm telling you, it's not the life God called us to. We build our life on the rock, Jesus Christ, the foundation. And we put him as a priority. When something gets messy in this priority up here, or something goes sideways and south, only that part takes us away, or that part hurts us, and we're still on the foundation. The rest of our life doesn't get destroyed because God is with us. Let's pray. God, I'm praying that this helps some people this morning, and I pray, God, that you would use this week for all of us to walk into your promises and help us to be more like Mary, just to be at your feet, to know that you love us, you accept us right where we're at. We don't have to have everything perfect. We don't have to be, but when we're at your feet, we're in the right place. And so for some of us in this room who are just busybodies, just kind of getting through and going through life, teach us to slow down our pace. Teach us to stop and wait in your presence. God, I know there's some in this room that are going to need to say no to some things that's going to be really hard to say no to. I pray you give them the courage and the strength to say no to the things they need to. And that they would say yes to the right things. And that you would show up, show off as they do that. And Holy Spirit, none of this matters if you're not shepherding our hearts, if you're not convicting us where we're off and wrong. So this week for each of us, I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, just do your work in us. Help us be humble before you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this time together. It's in Christ's name I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Awesome.